Greetings, greetings, once again, to all my enemies and all my friends. You may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. That's right. It's the Weekly Worldview. I am your host, Doug McBurney. So glad to be back. And so glad to be fully ensconced now at the new McBurney compound out on the eastern plains of Colorado. Bennett, Colorado. If you ask where Bennett, if you tell someone you live in Bennett, Colorado, their first inquiry will be, where is Bennett? People who've lived here their whole lives, they say, where is Bennett? I love that. And the GPS can't quite find the place. I mean, it'll get you in the neighborhood, but it can't quite find it. I like that. It's been an interesting couple of months, actually. And especially the last week has been intense. And if there's one thing I've learned... Oh, by the way, can we get a little bit more reverb on that? There's more reverb in this room than an Earth, Wind, and Fire record. I apologize for that. But the walls in the new Worldview studio, if indeed this turns out to be the Worldview studio, we don't know yet. The walls are bare. I've done all I can in a field expedient manner to make some sound baffles, but it's disastrous. Yes, more reverb and more cowbell. That's what we need. Anyway, what I've learned from this move that we went through is that nothing ever is easy, not ever, not one thing, not even once, not one time, never. Nothing is easy. Everything is difficult. Been very difficult, been very stressful. It's tested the relationship, as a matter of fact, between myself and my extremely attractive audio engineer. But the relationship, well, as far as I know, is still good. You'd have to, well, I won't ask. But we're hanging in there. You discover in a move like this how little you actually need to just live and be happy, at least for a short period of time. I mean, at one time, we were down to one little box of bathroom stuff, one little carry-on bag full of clothes, and our truck, which is as big as a small apartment. It's a Sequoia, but and that's all we had, and we were very happy. And we were technically homeless for a few hours there. And we were actually homeless once. Have we ever told this story on the air? He said to his extremely attractive audience. I don't know is that something we want to get out there? Or maybe people think less of us if they know that we were actually homeless.
I just don't know if it's interesting.
Oh, it was interesting. It was a very interesting story. Oh, is it interesting for other people? Well, I guess we'll find out. Yes. We were homeless in San Diego, as a matter of fact, through a series of misadventures. I lost the ability to find anyone who would let them stay with me, as I had fallen in with the wrong crowd, and I was being a moron. I was young. I was 22. Anyway, we were homeless in San Diego in a Daihatsu Charade, which is a three-cylinder, just to tell you how small that vehicle was. It was a three-cylinder. And we were homeless was it a summer or was it a winter? Do you recall? It was San Diego. You couldn't really tell. Summer? If you're going to be homeless in a Daihatsu Charade, San Diego's not a bad place to be homeless. And I've got to say that brief period of homelessness was actually quite blissful for myself and my extremely attractive audio engineer, because we didn't have to worry about other people. We just hung out with each other in the Daihatsu and ate tuna fish. And when every week McDonald's would have a day of, it was either 39-cent or 29-cent hamburgers. That was the big feast day that we would splurge. Anyway, so we were actually homeless back in the early 90s, and we were technically homeless this time, but we managed to make it in, and we're ensconced, and we even have our first two goats are on site. We even had our first goat incident when on day two of the goat operation, one of the goats escaped while we were out buying the goat food. If the goat knew what was good for her, she wouldn't escape into 5,000 acres of barren snow-covered plains. She would stay in the little house that was built for her and wait for us to bring her food, but she escaped. And we got home, and there's only one goat, and there was mourning, and there was weeping in the McBurney clan until I went from goat to hero because I found the baby girl goat. I tracked her. I've tracked my first goat and wrangled it back into our possession. So that was all real good fun. What else is going on? Let's see. The Republicans have caved on amnesty. Barry's coming for the internet. These are the big stories. I haven't paid that much attention to the news, I've got to tell you. But for you people, I'm going to do my best. I'm not just going to tell stories about goats and homelessness. I will get to the news at some point. Yeah, Barry's coming for the internet. That's the latest big hullabaloo. And, well, you know, the proctocracy that Barry runs, they've already abridged the right to life, the right to private property. Yeah, the right to life through the killing of innocent children and the right to private property through their taxation, thievery by taxation, wealth redistribution, all that. So I suppose we can't be surprised that Barry's now come for the liberty of what's left for the rest of us in the form of freedom of speech and the internet. And the FCC has voted. I didn't know that they could just vote and just start passing rules like this. But there were a lot of things I wasn't aware about that the proctocracy had progressed to that I simply wasn't aware of. And they're just pulling things that are frankly unbelievable. And it's unbelievable that there is no one resisting them. It's shocking, as a matter of fact. They say the internet's going to slow down, it's going to be like Europe, and the Republicans are helpless to do anything about it. As are we, the people. We're all helpless to do anything about it. Because when the wicked rule, the people mourn. That's in the Bible. I'm not going to tell you where. Look it up. You have a computer. I mean, you can find it in 5 seconds, okay? But it's in the Bible. When the wicked rule, the people mourn. And we're all mourning right now because there's nothing we can do about this guy. And you got to wonder if maybe the Republicans will finally wake up and impeach this guy and all of his minions, all of his horsewomen and everyone else. Maybe, perhaps a threat to the easy, cheap, downloadable availability of pornography is finally what it'll take to get the Republicans to actually resist. You know? Yeah. I know. I don't have a lot of respect for the Republican Party either. But maybe when he comes, but that's the one thing that Barry will not slow down. And he will not regulate in any way. Will be the free availability of the most disgusting pornography ever known to mankind. In fact, that sewer pipe will get bigger. And everything else for the business people and the political talkers and the thinkers and the bloggers, that'll all be curtailed significantly, but the sewer pipe of pornography will be expanded, I'm sure. All right, now we move. Is that all the... Well, even the bigger story, and I have something on this later, but the beheading of the Coptic Christians in Libya by the Islamic State, the kidnapping of even more Christians. I'll get to that because I have some news. Could we get a little bit more reverb on the number one mic? Yeah. Oh, there you go. Oh yeah. Okay. Thank you. All right. So I think the levels are good now. Let's go to the war file. We'll start in the Washington Times. The majority of potential Army reservists are either hooked on prescription drugs, have too many tattoos, are overweight, have mental conditions, or have mental conditions that prohibit them from joining the military. Yes. 70% of young people wanting to join the military, according to the Times, would fail to pass service tests because of their physical, moral, or cognitive shortcomings. And the Army says the problem is only getting worse. The problems, I should say, are only worsening. Obviously, the standards will have to decline to compensate for the moral trajectory of the modern American male. Yeah, I really fear that we'll see the American military cease to be a reliable force for good in my lifetime. And I think it was at one time, before I was involved, I think. But at one time, the U.S. military was a reliable force for good because there was a lot of good men in the military. I remember when I was in the service, it was generally, overall, a morally despicable, adolescent, vulgar, and morally corrupting influence upon those who were in the military. But in every unit I was in, there was always two or three or four fellas who were, typically they were Christian, and they were the folks that kind of kept everything from getting completely out of control. And I think if you go back further in time, it was even more so. There were more morally reliable men, people who didn't have moral or cognitive shortcomings. And we were a reliable force for good. I think that's why Egypt, the court in Egypt, declared Hamas a terrorist organization just this past week. I think that the American military's 40-year relationship with the Egyptian military has probably resulted in a lot of relationships that, if it hasn't led to the conversion of many Egyptian military leaders to Christianity, it has at least led them to a realistic worldview about Islam, especially radical Islam. And so, by the way, I want to congratulate the Egyptians for declaring Hamas a terrorist organization. But anyway, the tattoos and the Oxycontin and the moral and cognitive shortcomings, well, that's just not going to get better anytime soon with the condition of the government schools being what it is and the product that they produce being what it is. Yes, the gross national product. Yeah, that's a quote from my pastor. I'll be updating you on some of his activities later in the broadcast, but let's get down into the moral collapse of Western civilization file. I need to think of a shorter name for that file. That's a relatively new file, but this is about Google. This is from the Reuters Wire. Google has abandoned its plans to ban adult content on its blogging site after receiving negative feedback from users. So Google was going to ban pornography on their blogging site. And the people spoke and they expressed disappointment or dissatisfaction with the fact that Google wanted to somehow restrict the sewer pipe of digital pornography. And so Google has backed off. You remember just last week, Google had told blog posters that they would no longer be able to post sexually explicit pictures or videos on Google's blogging platform starting on March 23rd. Well, the people spoke and they said, no, we want our pornography. And so Vox Populi, Vox Diablo, the people spoke and the people will get that what they want, which is their pornography. And that doesn't bode well for the future of Western civilization. And speaking of, well, let's go to the easternmost portion of Western civilization, South Korea. This is from the French Press Association. South Korea's constitutional court has struck down the South Korean law, which had criminalized extramarital affairs and jailed violators for up to 2 years. That's right, adultery up until last week was against the law in South Korea. You remember last year we reported right here that South Korea blocked the global adultery site Ashley Madison. Governing officials there said that it threatened family values. You remember that? We reported on that. In fact, we gave kudos to the Koreans. But now, a 9-member bench has ruled. Now, I love the way they write this. This is why lawyers form committees to make decisions, so that they can't be held responsible. And when the news media reports it, they buy right into the proctocracy's lingo. The 9-member bench ruled 7-2, so none of these judges can ever be held responsible for what they've done because it was a bench that ruled. Maybe if things go badly, we'll burn that bench or destroy it. But the nine-member bench ruled 7-2 that the statute that protected traditional family values was in fact unconstitutional. So they ruled the law against adultery in South Korea unconstitutional. One of the judges, the presiding justice, Park Han-chul, said, even if adultery should be considered as immoral, state power should not intervene in individuals' private lives, said the presiding proctor there in South Korea. Now, one could say the same about theft or murder or bribery or assault. I mean, if it was personal, if it wasn't done in a professional setting, should the state really have power to intervene? And you laugh and you think they won't say it about murder or theft, but in fact, they already have. They happen to not be stealing enough from you to ruin your life, and they happen to have not killed you yet, but they already have. They've come for some, but they haven't come for you. But eventually, they will come for you and me, and that's why we've got to stand up now. Now, back to the story. The legislation, the law in Korea, had made South Korea one of the few non-Muslim countries to regard marital infidelity as a criminal act. So the French press agency reports this without reporting that for nearly 5,000 years of human civilization, adultery has been illegal in every civilization except a few. And that was only just before those civilizations collapsed. See, they reported as if only the Muslims, the modern Muslim states, have laws against adultery. Well, there was laws against adultery in your state, in my state, when our grandparents were children. But the AFP, they don't report that. They report it as if, well, if you have an adultery law, you might as well be a Muslim extremist. You might as well be a member of the Islamic State. Let me see. The dissenting opinion was issued by Justice An Chang-ho, and he insisted that the statute was a protector of family morals, and he warned that its abolition would, quote, spark a surge in debauchery. That's what he said, that a surge in debauchery. And all the liberals and the leftist fiends and freaks and creeps and deviants and perverts, they laugh at a word like debauchery. But I like it. It's an old-fashioned word that describes old-fashioned sin is what it is. And he's right. In fact, the AFP goes on to report, they say, while the adultery law may have been ruled out of existence, social disapproval for marital infidelity remains potent in South Korea. Well, it won't for very long, my friends, because the law is the great teacher, and it especially teaches the children. And now the children in South Korea will be taught that anything short of the free and open access to Ashley Madison online is akin to being ruled by the Islamic State.
Your hands to yourself.
It's the Weekly Worldview. And I am your host, Doug McBurney, and that was the Georgia Satellites, currently residing in the Where Are They Now file. They're just glad that we're playing their tunes, right? People told me when I started doing this, you know, you could get sued for playing these guys' songs. I said, well, I'm not doing this for money, number one. And number two, a lot of these guys, I mean, they'd just be happy to know somebody's playing their records, you know? So, hey, a shout out to the Georgia Satellites. Thank you very much, boys. We go now to reason number 786, to keep or get your children out of the government schools. Taylor Swift has given $50,000 to New York City schools. Taylor Swift, I said. $50,000. Now, Taylor Swift makes $50,000 falling out of bed in the morning. All right? I mean, $50,000 is not a very big deal to Taylor Swift. But here we have her publicist making sure that we all know that Taylor Swift donated the equivalent of the change you find in the couch when you move. She donated that to the New York Public Schools so that we'll all think that she's such a wonderful person, Taylor Swift. I'm not familiar with her career, but I know that she struts around like a prostitute, and she's probably a syphilis-infested slut pig is about all I know about her. And this is the equivalent of the public display of the phylacteries of a Pharisee, in my opinion. And you wouldn't want your kids to be influenced in any way by Taylor Swift, especially whatever they buy with the 50 grand. It would probably be pregnancy tests and trips to Planned Parenthood and maybe a penicillin that they'll buy with the 50 grand from Taylor Swift. Just disgusting. And you know, that reminds me about the new McBurney compound. We are so well ensconced here. An uninvited guest coming through the gate up the driveway here, they would have to be able to make it through about 500 yards of grazing fire before they would reach the compound. And everybody knows that cannot be done when the homeowner has been trained in the United States Marine Corps course on sight alignment, sight picture, breathing, trigger control. It just can't happen. Yeah, and I've only got a .22 caliber rifle. That's all I've got. But it's semi-automatic, and I can lay down a lot of fire. By the way, I'm not directing that at Taylor Swift. I don't know why she reminded me of Fields of Fire. It's just weird. I don't know. Something about Taylor Swift. But anyway, it's a great place. We're just loving it. We're going to expand the goat pen. That's the next big project. Around. After we get everything out of boxes and get some stuff up here on the walls to absorb all this reverberation that's going on. All right, but we'll have fun with it this week, and we might be high on the reverb levels for a couple of weeks or more because I have to go back to work, and that's just depressing. So let's just move on. We go out to the science, really, file. Yeah, scientists at the University of Washington and the University of Johannesburg in South Africa have released a new study. Yes, this has been reported by ABC News, and their study was published last week in the journal Nature. This new study is based on an analysis of 52 rock samples that range in age from 2.75 to 3.2 billion years old. Yes. And the study suggests that life on Earth may have begun a billion years earlier than we thought. A billion years than the scientists thought, I guess. Yes. Apparently, these new rock samples, 2.75 to 3.2 billion years old, showed that there was plentiful nitrogen 3.2 billion years ago. And nitrogen is an essential building block for genes. And so these rocks are telling these scientists that there was a hospitable environment that could have led to life up to a billion years sooner than we thought. In fact, we have a quote from one of these scientists. Scientists! Really? Yes, what's this fellow's name? Roger Buick. Roger Buick is a professor and a co-author of the article. And he said, quote, people always had the idea that the really ancient biosphere was just tenuously clinging on to this inhospitable planet. And it wasn't until the emergence of nitrogen fixation that suddenly the biosphere became large and robust and diverse. Yeah, unquote. That's Roger Buick talking about dating rocks. Yes, Roger dates rocks. Folks, dating methods for these rocks are simply impossible to confirm without faith. That's why I truly think that atheistic old world, Big Bang evolution, evolutionary cosmology, all of that, it's a religion. Because one must first take the assumptive leap of faith and accept the geologic column as described by old Earth atheists. You have to accept that they have at least one rock that they absolutely know how old it is. And the fact is they don't. They don't have any rocks that they know how old they are. I mean, we have some because we've seen them form in a volcano, so we have a pretty good idea how old those rocks are. But that doesn't help us with rocks that are buried down and spread around and all over the Earth. So it's a tremendous leap of faith to believe that these scientists, number one, that they can say it's however many billion years old. But you know what we do know is that their information about the nitrogen is correct because that can be measured. And there's nitrogen in all these rocks that these evolutionary big bangers had thought, well, it wouldn't have been there because the Earth wasn't hospitable until however many billion. Anyway, how often do you have to adjust your theory by 10 or 20% before people just say, okay, you know what? I think you're full of it, man. I think you really don't know what you're talking about. I think you're trying to impress people, maybe trying to pick up women on the college campus, and you absolutely hate the idea that there's a creator God who's going to judge you. And you'll say anything, no matter how ridiculous, to get out of it. But you're not going to get out of it. There you go. In fact, let's move deeper into the science. Really? File. Another new study, an even newer new study than this new study here that I just quoted, has been released and published. It's a new theory. This is from CBS in Washington. And in this newer, bigger, deeper, brighter theory, researchers suggest that the start of the universe may have involved no Big Bang at all. And in fact, the authors suggest that the age of the universe could be infinite and the universe had no beginning. Yes, that's the new theory. So says a theoretical physicist at the University of Lethbridge in Alberta, Canada. Yes. I would say the person's name, but I can't pronounce it. But this person, and the first name is sexually ambiguous. I don't know if it's a boy or a girl. I'll try to pronounce it. Saurya Das. Saurya Das. Right? Am I a hayseed because I don't know who this person is, maybe? I guess. Well, it is a theoretical physicist at the University. And she says, or he says, whatever, Saurya says, that the universe may not have had a beginning at all. Yes, the formulation brings up two major points. First, that the universe possibly had no beginning, which involved an infinitely small and infinitely dense point of matter. All of you out there in the audience, you all remember like I do, around 7th or 8th grade when your science teacher told you that everything was all down to the size of a period and then it all exploded, right? That's what we all learned. That's the Big Bang Theory. Well, this author says maybe not. Second, the author says that more information could be discovered on the makeup of dark matter. Dark matter is the substance that's currently being used to explain all the flaws in the Big Bang Theory. Well, that's my commentary. The article says dark matter is the substance that makes up most of the universe and up until now has remained somewhat mysterious. Really? Somewhat mysterious? It's a complete and utter mystery. It's a fabrication made up by theoretical physicists when they learned that their theory was in a crisis. They made up dark matter. The CBS goes on to say the Big Bang Theory, which speculates that the universe was born 13.8 billion years ago, comes from Einstein's general theory of relativity. Well, that's just a bit of a stretch to say that it comes from his theory. I mean, anyway, I don't have time to get into all this, but I think that's an insult to Albert Einstein, frankly. And according to these equations, back to the CBS story, according to these equations, all matter in the universe was once a single point. Anyway, so now she's saying, well, maybe that's all completely false. The universe just, It was always there. Anyway, do you hear that creaking and hissing? Yeah, you listen closely. You hear that? That's the sound of a collapsing gas cloud known as the Big Bang Theory. Yeah. So theoretical physicists, the ones who are honest at least with mathematics, they realize that the Big Bang Theory, unless they find this dark matter, which they just sucked out of the tip of their thumb, unless they find it and can prove it, the whole theory is going to collapse. And I'm all for it. By the way, Bob Enyart, Pastor Bob Enyart, Denver Bible Church, will be in Indianapolis this Saturday, March 7th, at Lake of the Pines in Indianapolis for his monumental seminar on evidence against the Big Bang. If you people out there and you're not sure, if you're not sure about the Big Bang, maybe it happened, maybe God was involved, maybe you got the bumper sticker, God said, so God spoke and it went bang, whatever. If you're not sure, the evidence against the Big Bang theory is mounting. And it's so significant that the entire theoretical physicist community is on the brink of just collapsing and finally doing a mea culpa and saying, okay, we were wrong. We can't prove it. It doesn't make any sense. And there's massive amounts of evidence for a relatively, for a creation that has a beginning relatively short time ago. And you can catch all that, the mountain of information at Lake of the Pines, Indianapolis, Indiana. Go to KGOV.com and sign up and go find out why the Big Bang Theory is collapsing. Welcome back to the Weekly Worldview. So good to have you aboard. By the way, because Bob is going to be out in Indianapolis, and he happens to be the pastor of my church, Denver Bible Church, where I attend, where I warm a pew regularly. Because Bob's going to be in Indiana, I'm going to preach the sermon at Denver Bible Church at the new facility. It's a nice facility, by the way. We had a great time today. They had a great crowd. There were so many kids in the I think the children in our church below the age of 10 almost outnumber the adults. There must have been 40 kids. It was awesome to see so many children. It was so fun. It was a great time. So I'll be preaching. So if you're in the Denver metropolitan area next Sunday and you want to hear a powerhouse sermon, come on by Denver Bible Church. Yeah, I think I'm going to be preaching about tithing and how we all need to tithe in order to pay the mortgage on the new church. No, I won't do that. All right. Let's move on now to the Independent from London, reporting on Stephen Hawking's latest musings. Stephen Hawking is concerned with human aggression. Yes, human aggression, says Stephen Hawking, is, I'll just quote him. He says, quote, "The human failing I would most like to correct is aggression. It may have had survival advantage in caveman days to get more food, territory, or a partner with whom to reproduce, but now it threatens to destroy us all." Unquote. Yes, yes. He goes on to say that the human quality he would most like to magnify is empathy. Yes, he says, empathy brings us together in a peaceful, loving state. Unquote. That's Stephen Hawking, right? Is he a theoretical physicist or is he an actual? I think he's an actual physicist who slipped the surly bonds of sanity some time ago and went on into theoretical physicism at some point in the not-too-distant past. Anyway, the human failings that Stephen Hawking is concerned about, the human failing of aggression, well, according to his worldview, it must be a product of evolution. In fact, he says it may have had survival advantages. So who is Hawking to question his God, evolution? If his God says aggression is where it needs to be, then it's where it needs to be. And since there is no God, there's no truth, no right, no wrong. Everything's just a big cosmic accident directed by naturalistic natural selection and all that. Then how can Hawking judge that aggression? And by the way, Stephen Hawking, aggression is good. Just like everything else, it's good until it's used unjustly against the innocent. That's the same with almost all sin. Almost all sin is something good taken to an extreme. Oh, by the way, sin is what Stephen Hawking calls a human failing. So he doesn't know, he won't admit that there's any such thing as sin, because he might get some on him and he doesn't want that. So he just calls it a human failing. But I think he's being a bit presumptuous to question his God of evolution. Perhaps evolution has aggression right where it wants it, and maybe empathy's on its way out. And Stephen Hawking has no right to question what evolution has decided based upon his own worldview. Now we'll move on to someone I despise even more than Stephen Hawking, if that could be possible, because I despise Stephen Hawking a lot. And let me just tell you why, because I know a lot of you people, you probably think he's a bright, wonderful person and he's in a wheelchair. How could you ever say anything bad about Stephen Hawking? Right? He's disabled. Anyway, Stephen Hawking, for most of his adult life, has spent his time lying to children. Oh, and going to strip clubs, but mostly the lying to the children is what I hate about Stephen Hawking. He has helped to lead a generation away from their creator. And that has led to the chaos we see all around us. The moral vacuum being rapidly filled by the Islamist maniacs. I blame people like Stephen Hawking for putting Western civilization in the precarious position in which we find ourselves. Because if you've read the Bible, and if you haven't, I suggest you just read it one time at least. You'll notice that there's quite the predictable pattern of people, of all civilizations throughout the world, of godliness and godlessness. And when there is godlessness and the wicked rule, eventually the civilization collapses. Everyone's killed, the children are kidnapped, the women are ravaged, the houses are looted and burned. And then men begin to call upon the name of the Lord. And then you can start to build a civilization again. And now, where do you think we are in that algorithm? Well, look around you. All right, now, I got off on... someone I despise more than Stephen Hawking. Now, I hate a lot of people. But there are a few people I hate more than Bill O'Reilly. And that's why I couldn't have been happier when just before the big move, when everything was going into boxes, one of the last reports I saw on my television set before I packed it up was an old report from the 1980s where Bill O'Reilly was talking about how he conquered the Falkland Islands or something like that. That's certainly the way it comes off. I was in a war zone. Anyway, so I've got the original story from Mother Jones, and boy, did I have some fun on Mother Jones. They have a post section at the bottom where you can post your comments on a story. And the first thing I did was I said, thank you for exposing the rank and gross hypocrisy of Bill O'Reilly. See, you people might not remember Bill O'Reilly from back. I remember when he was in Denver and he was a local, was he a weatherman or was he an entertainment reporter? I can't remember, but even back then, he just came across as the most arrogant jerk, a guy you could not trust for 15 minutes alone with your wife. That's how Bill O'Reilly came across to me back when he was doing the Hollywood beat. And now he's passed himself off as some conservative and as an actual journalist. And I was so happy to see that the deviant pervert scum over at Mother Jones, and I did remind them that they're a bunch of deviant perverts and criminals, but I said, thank you for exposing Bill O'Reilly. When he said, yeah, he said he was in a war zone in Argentina when actually he was in a riot after the Argentines lost the Falklands War. And he's taken to calling these riots that erupted in Buenos Aires after the Argentine government's defeat. He calls them now the final battle of the Falklands War. Although no one before or since has ever called the riots in Buenos Aires that. But Bill has called them that because, well, he's trying to extricate himself from a fairly embarrassing situation. What in the light of NBC's host Brian Williams, who's just a serial liar about his wartime correspondence experience. And I just hope right now there are thousands of liberal bloggers and activists on George Soros's payroll or otherwise who are combing through every word Bill O'Reilly has ever said so that he can be exposed for what he is, which is a phony, lying, faux Republican. And, I just won't go into what else I think about him. And this is all just my personal opinion about Bill. So don't have his lawyers call me. This is all just my personal opinion. But I would love the day to see Bill O'Reilly go down. The fall of that house would be great. And it would be fun to watch. All right, so I know you're not supposed to wish ill on anyone ever, but when someone is ill and they make me ill, I wish ill upon them, and I wish ill upon Bill O'Reilly, professionally only. I hope he's healthy as a horse until the day he dies at 106. All right, now, let's move into the bad religion file. Members of the House of Representatives in the state of Georgia say that the city of Atlanta has fired the fire chief because he believed in the Bible. Yeah. Now, the city of Atlanta says that former fire chief Kelvin Cochran's religious beliefs had nothing to do with his suspension back in November and then his eventual firing. He and his supporters, though, claim that it was in retaliation for a book he published over a year ago that, among other things, equates homosexuality with bestiality. And there was a collective, yes, that was the gasp amongst the people who don't know that, well, the Bible does that, lists them in the same, yeah. It lists them in the same paragraph because they're both disgusting sexual sins. That's why, yeah. So he wrote a book that probably quoted the Bible, and everybody's freaking out. City officials said the book is entitled, Who Told You That You Are Naked? Unquote. I like that title of that book. In fact, I was thinking about preaching on that very thing this coming Sunday, possibly. Let me see. I'm going to take a note there. Maybe I will. I'm going to check this book out. Who Told You That You Are Naked was the name of the book published by Kelvin Cochran, C-O-C-H-R-A-N. I suggest you buy this fella's book, okay? I'm going to check it out. They say that his book was published without prior approval from the city. Yeah. Well, wait a second. What country do we live in? What do you mean? A man's not allowed to publish a book without prior permission from the city just because he works for the government? Well, maybe that's true. I suppose if I wrote a book that offended my boss would have every right to fire me. And, I think I'm actually happy Cochran was fired. Yeah. Now he's not a government parasite. He could probably go out and get a real job and maybe even become a preacher. And hopefully his book will sell a million copies now. I'm going to buy it. It sounds interesting to me. Let's see. He also, they say, he didn't abide by demands that he stop talking about the controversy. So the beast told him that, look, if you don't take this mark, you're out. Well, he didn't take the mark. He said, I'm gonna publish my book and I'm gonna talk about it because I'm a free American, I'm a Christian, and I'm gonna quote the Bible in my book. And they said, all right, you're fired. Probably the best thing that ever happened to this guy in his life. Yeah. How many of us can say that, right? Look at your life. Remember the time you were fired and it turned out to be the best thing that ever happened to you? That happened to me once. Happened to me twice, actually. Yeah. Anyway, about 10,000 people have signed a petition to reinstate Cochran. Okay, well, I'm against that. I don't think he should be reinstated and going back and working for the government. I think he should go out and get a private sector job, and he should definitely, well, I'll have to read his book before I can endorse him to become a preacher, but just based on what I'm hearing here, he's definitely qualified, more qualified than at least 75% of the spineless wimps that occupy the pulpits of America now. And you are one with the cause. It's the Weekly Worldview. I'm Doug McBurney, and I'm glad to have you along. The greatest guitar solo in the history of guitar solos, in my humble opinion. Sorry I went so long with that, but you just do not interrupt that solo. All right, and congratulations, by the way, go out to former Fire Chief Kelvin Cochran, who has one of the greatest opportunities ever in his life before him right now. And now I'm running out of time, and I got to go deeper into the Bad Religion file. By the way, that was from the Bad Religion file, because I think the government has become a bad religion. Yeah, and if you don't take their mark, you're out. Yeah. All right. Now, deeper into the Bad Religion file, a judge in Washington State has ruled that a florist who refused to sell flower arrangements for a homosexual couple's wedding violated state anti-discrimination law. That's right. The florist was Baronella Stutzman. It was sued by not by a homo couple, but actually by the ACLU on behalf of these two homos. Now, the pair of queers were longtime customers of the florist, and they knew each other. They were on a first-name basis. She had made flowers for them before. As you know, homos need a lot of flowers. They do that a lot. They're more romantic than other people because they're trying to compensate, right? So she made him a lot of flowers in the past, but when it came to the wedding, she said, I can't do that. She recommended another florist, and the other florist took care of their flower needs. But the ACLU had activists scouring all records and found out the case. And then so the ACLU talked the homos into suing this poor florist. Now, she maintained that her Christian beliefs prevented her from selling flowers for the homo wedding. And she said, quote, I can't do it because of my relationship with Jesus Christ, unquote. And there was a collective gasp. The people interviewing her couldn't believe that she would mention the name of Jesus Christ when they had just been talking about men who sodomize each other. They were shocked that she mentioned the name of Jesus Christ. That's where we are, ladies and gentlemen. In that algorithm I mentioned earlier, that's where we're at. All right, so the Superior Court judge said in a 60-page opinion that he was with the queers and he's against Jesus. And she had to make them flowers. And let's see here. He also wrote that the Supreme Court of the United States has held that laws may prohibit religiously motivated action as opposed to belief. Right? So keep your religion in the closet. Right? While the deviants parade down the street in chaps and nothing but chaps and the handlebar mustaches and the tattoos and the gauges and the freak show, while they parade down the street, you Christians keep your religion in the closet. You can believe whatever you want, but don't act on it. The deviants march down the street across the thresholds of the churches. That's right. They will march in their chaps and their mustache wax across the thresholds of the churches of America very soon. Because we've gone into the closet for the most part. And they're going to come and yank us out of the closet and send us... Well, I don't know what they're going to do with us. We're going to have a fight on their hands if they come for the McBurney compound, I can tell you that. That's right. 500 meters of grazing fire. All right. I'm just saying that figuratively, of course. Although our front yard is over 500 yards long now. For real. And we're on top of a hill. So come on. Bring it on. If the zombies start marching, we're defensible. All right. Into the culture file. We are running out of time. Let's see here. This is another reason to keep your kids out of the university. A college in South Carolina is receiving scrutiny for its decision to hold that sexual intimacy is only appropriate between a man and a woman who are married. And there was a collective gasp amongst the deviants, liberals, and perverts. All the progressives are gasping that you would even suggest that. It's shocking. Well, that's what the Bible says. That's what God teaches. And that's the only thing that works, by the way. For you young people out there, who think that sex is so great to go have sex with lots of different people, it just doesn't work, folks. Sex only works in a committed marriage relationship, and I say that by experience, okay? That's the truth of it. God, it turns out God was right the whole time. The guy who made you and the creator who made sex, he was right about it the whole time. Sexual intimacy is only appropriate between a man and a woman who are married. Yes. Now, the school says, we believe the Bible teaches that all sexual activity outside the covenant of marriage is sinful. But they say this is not intended as a ban against either homosexuals or serial fornicators. But they say it gives us a point of reference to have a conversation about the situation. And this is why you want to keep or get your kids out of the public education system from K through 12, through undergrad, through graduate school, all post-grad. I mean, forget it. Just keep them out of it. Because if religious leaders like the folks at this school are willing to entertain the idea that the biblical position could be up for some kind of debate or discussion or conversation, well, what they're really saying is that they are on the road toward abandoning the scriptural position that they themselves just quoted, that sexual intimacy is only appropriate between a man and a woman who are married. There should be a period after that, and when asked if this means it's a ban, they should say, why? Are you one of those? Are you one of those? Get out of here. It's a ban. We don't associate with people like that. That's what the religious leaders at this school should say, but they can't say that. Because if they don't take the mark, they don't get the federal funds, and they would have to shut down. And so they're going to quote the Bible. They're going to believe, but they're not going to necessarily act because that would cost far too much. Well, they've taken the mark, you see. Maybe that's what I'll preach on, my mark of the beast theory. I really think this is it. This is what it's all about. If you don't take the mark, you're not going to buy or sell. The president of the school, he could lose a six-figure job if he stands up and says, yes, it's a ban. We don't want queers, and we don't want fornicators in our school. Because God's, anyway, we'll see what happens. I have a quote here. What do I have? Oh, yes, I've got a quote from the president of the school. He says, this is a statement. This statement describes a position. It does not prescribe a policy, and it does not ban any individual or class of individuals from attending Erskine. So, by the way, this is Erskine College. Did I mention that? I never heard of this place. It's a small Christian college in South Carolina. Reformed Presbyterian Church. Yeah, all right. But one of the students is quoted as well, Juan Verona. He's a volleyball player, and he says, quote, the release of this statement makes me disappointed because I have never received anything but kind treatment from everyone at this school, and my sexual orientation is no secret. I mean, listen to me lisp. Everybody knows. So this statement took me by surprise, unquote. That's Juan Verona, a queer volleyball player at the small Christian college. He's taking a hissy fit, as a matter of fact. What else do we got? Indianapolis. Oh, yeah, my pastor, Bob, he's going to be in Indianapolis March 7th for his evidence against the Big Bang Theory out at Lake of the Pines. Go to kgov.com and register for the seminar. And if you have an unwanted newborn, you can take the newborn up there because in Indiana, they're bringing back the baby box. Yes, it's an oversized metal box that looks like a bread container. It's actually a newborn incubator or a baby box, and they could be showing up at Indiana hospitals, fire stations, churches, and selected nonprofits under proposed legislation that would give mothers in crisis a way to surrender their children safely and anonymously. So on the way to the seminar, you could dump your unwanted newborn. Who could ask for more? How wonderful. Indiana could be the first state, this is according to the Associated Press, Indiana could be the first state to allow the use of baby boxes on a broad scale. They're just going to put them everywhere. Yeah. I know people think it's a good thing, and listen to me. If society has come to the point where babies are being abandoned in the trash and they're dying from exposure, then yes, I would rather have a box, okay? I'm just saying this is a sad commentary on the state of where we are on the algorithm of godlessness, okay? There's the algorithm of godliness and the algorithm of godlessness. Well, they're thinking about putting boxes all over the city because so many babies are being abandoned. So where do you think we are on the algorithm? Now, listen to this. I found this interesting. Baby boxes, known in some countries as baby hatches or angel cradles, originated in medieval times. And sometimes I think that's where we are, or that's where we're headed. Except we have electricity, plumbing, and high-speed internet, and motor vehicles. But people are going medieval, throwing away babies, ISIS. I mean, I hate to end on a downer, but I'm just about out of time. But ISIS burned 45 people to death in al-Baghdadi in Iraq. They beheaded 21 Egyptian cops, beheaded, and then now they've kidnapped how many in Syria? How many Christians? I can't recall. Dozens? Who are next to be butchered in well, I mean it's worse than medieval. It's horrible. I mean, you know, people ask about ISIS, you know, could they be like the Nazis? Well, I mean, they have a larger geography, a larger population, but they are backwards, ignorant savages. That's probably the only thing that saved us from World War III. You know, people ask, could this be the start of World War III? I would say the real question is, can it be stopped? If nobody stands up against it, can it be stopped? It's going to be like medieval times again with the Islamists while the West is throwing away their children and killing them because they're inconvenient, while we sacrifice our future to something that's really nothing, whatever Stephen Hawking is talking about, while we do that, they're setting up their caliphate. It's like the Middle Ages, for crying out loud. And I don't like it. It's scary and disgusting. Yeah, let's see. I really can't do it. I'm almost out of time. So, oh, here we go. Let's end with this. Not exactly a wonderful story. On December 18th, around 1 p.m., a 90-year-old woman had some uninvited guests. It was the police. She said it sounded like a bomb went off. Glass was shattered. They busted in her door through a flashbang device. The police said that there was evidence of criminal activity, guns, drugs. They went and got a search warrant. And these days, they typically get these no-knock warrants if they think there's any chance there's going to be a gun or violence. So they got their search warrant. They kicked in this woman's door. They searched the home with drug-sniffing dogs, and they came up with nothing. The police say, this, by the way, this is from CBS in Miami. The police say that the warrant was executed at the correct address. They said just because she didn't know there was criminal activity, it doesn't mean it didn't happen. Well, it's just sad. The department has decided to pay for new windows and doors for this 90-year-old woman. So whose fault is this, ladies and gentlemen? Is it the fault of the police being overly aggressive, overly militarized? Is it the fault of the 90-year-old woman, maybe she wasn't paying attention, that her grandchildren are dealing crack out the back door of her house? No, I don't think it's either of their fault. I think this is the fault of the legislators. It's the fault of the judges. It's the fault of the lawyers who have failed to put the fear of God into drug dealers with proper punishments so that we wouldn't have to worry about police kicking in the wrong door because they're trying to run down 5,000 drug dealers in every major metropolitan area. There wouldn't be hardly any drug dealers if you gave them corporal punishment on the first offense and capital punishment on the second offense. If you really wanted to end crime, they could end crime. But I blame this on the proctocracy because they've made crime an industry, and we're all paying the price along with this poor 90-year-old woman who gets her door kicked in. And the police are paying the price as well, by the way. The police are paying the price with their lives and their health and their sanity. All right, that's it for the Weekly Worldview, folks. I want to thank my friends at Denver Bible Church, KGOV.com, American Right to Life, and as always, my other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen. Here in the Weekly Worldview Studios, should the Lord tarry, I will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.